I came across a list of crazy state laws, and I thought I would share them with you. So, and these are real, at least they were at one point. So, this list is a group of laws. Actually, I found a list of a different law from every state. Alabama. It's illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. That was a law in Alabama. Arizona, it's illegal for donkeys to sleep in bathtubs. Now there's a law you want to grab hold of. Georgia, and I really like this one. It's illegal to keep an ice cream cone in your back pocket on Sundays. Anybody have that problem here? We could go to the state legislature. In Iowa, we're in Iowa, one-armed piano players must, by law, perform for free. Really, I had no idea. Kansas, listen carefully to this one. If two trains meet on the same track, neither shall proceed until the other has passed. Minnesota, Rusty, you need to listen to this one very carefully. A person may not cross state lines with a duck atop their head. You're clean. You're good. Nevada. It's illegal to drive a camel on the highway. New Jersey. It's against the law for a man to knit during the fishing season. I know you're making faces, Kevin, so keep on knitting. It's okay. Okay. Ohio. It's illegal to get a fish drunk. Quite a problem in some states, evidently. South Dakota. You ready for this one, AJ? It's illegal to sleep in a cheese factory in South Dakota. Just saying. Texas. It's illegal to sell one's eye. I see. Okay, West Virginia. Whistling underwater is prohibited. Some people could really blow it, I'm sure. Okay, so when I thought of this message today, this message by Paul in Romans, I wondered if he wasn't being a bit crazy. Think about it. We have a law. We have a law that even God says that we can't keep. It's a good law, but we're not able to hold on to it. It sounds a little bit crazy we'd have a law that we can't follow. As we've studied the first few chapters of the book of Romans on our journey on this Roman road, Paul clarifies what he means when he tells us what the purpose of the law really is. It shows us that we as humans were born into sin and will always come up short. We literally can't attain God's perfection. His standards are how we need to live. We just can't measure up. No matter how hard we try to be perfect and holy, as a holy God would require, we just can't. If it wasn't for God's provision for us through Jesus Christ, His Son, and His death on the cross, we'd all be lost. Last week in Romans 3, thankfully, we heard God's solution, His gracious free gift to all of us if we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This week in chapter 4, Paul looks at Jewish history. He actually wants everyone to understand the details about salvation. And he's going to center on the history of Abraham, who is the father of the Hebrew nation. And you could say the father of Christianity by that. And he also wants to talk just a little bit about King David as well. And Paul obviously is using a technique he wants the Jews to understand especially, and he's going to use their own scriptures from the Old Testament to get the word across. In Romans 4, 1 through 2, it reads, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish nation. What did he discover after being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But this was not God's way. Did Abraham become righteous when he left the city of Ur, a place of worldliness and sophistication? No. Maybe it was when Abraham took his son and offered it to God, his son's own life. Surely that would have given him a lot of points. But no, God didn't declare Abraham righteous after that. God declared Abraham righteous simply because of his faith and his belief in him. And remember this verse, Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. No doubt about it. We often can develop a real pride, a pridefulness even in our lives. We do look, if I can use the phrase again, to put up points on the board, to look better with others around us. That's how we tend to measure things often. We want to work at earning our way. It's in our control, isn't it, what we do? I'm kind of reminded of the images of John Wayne, how John Wayne played so many roles of being self-reliant, so many roles that he didn't need anybody else. If God had established a system for us to earn our way to heaven, think how our pride would have reigned our day. Think how competitive our world would be to get more points than anyone else. Romans 4:3-5. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Paul said, look at Abraham. Look at his story. Abraham believed in God, and God counted him as righteous. Righteous because of his faith. People are not counted righteous because of any work they've done, but only the work God has done. The focus is not on the rules. It's when we put our confidence in God and not in ourselves that we're blessed. But also be aware of this. Sometimes we get the word faith messed up. Sometimes we think we need to have faith in our faith. It's about having faith in God. The goodness, the provision, and the kindness of God who's righteous. God wants us to understand he grants us righteous when we believe in him. Not because we look to work our way to heaven, to earn his blessing, although there are wonderfully good things we can do, but because we believe in the one who created us. We believe in what he has done for us. Abraham's an important person in Jewish history especially, but Paul also wants to share about King David a bit, another important person. And we, at least for myself, really relate to David more than anyone, probably because David tended to mess up. Romans 4:6-8. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Paul is quoting from Psalm 32. Ever experienced forgiveness? I mean, forgiveness, especially when you didn't deserve it? It is joyful. It's a happiness. I like the word relief when you get forgiven when you really shouldn't be, at least in my mind. You feel like all the weight has come off your shoulders. David especially felt that relief as he experienced God's forgiveness. David made such great mistakes. He was so guilty. And it's interesting as you study the book of Psalms and you look at some of the Psalms that David wrote when he was young, you see David talking about, Lord, search me. I'm done right. I'm good. Look at me. Look at my heart. I'm righteous. And if you notice somewhere in there, and you look at writings in David's older days, when he realized how imperfect he was, he's a little more humble. He's a little more contemplative. David loved God. but he still sinned. He still struggled, but he experienced that forgiveness from God. We go on continuing to read the passage now as Paul asks questions. And it's a little bit involved. We'll talk about it on the other side, Romans 4, 9 through 12. Now, is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Obviously, it's for all of us. Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous because God, righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised? Or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Did you notice earlier when we read Genesis 15:6, when Abraham was counted righteous, it was many years before he was circumcised. God called Abraham righteous. And it wasn't because he followed the law well. Because if you know Abraham's detailed story, one we'll probably do a sermon series on someday. It wasn't because he was marked by circumcision, showing that he belonged to God. We've talked about how baptism, in some ways we can look at circumcision and baptism as being marked for God, dedicated to him. The trouble is, we can be baptized every day, if we want. We can dedicate ourselves to God by our actions, but those actions alone do not give us salvation. Baptism is good. It's even fundamental. We should be baptized. But that by itself won't earn us salvation, even though it's a great thing. It's a good thing. It's an appropriate thing to obey God in the act of baptism. But no ritual, no sacramental events secure our salvation. It means nothing at all unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, unless we have a commitment to claim him as the Lord of our lives, and we live lives that reflect that. Romans 4, 13 through 15, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on an obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God promises is only for those who obey the law, then the faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. The promise given to Abraham wasn't given to him because he obeyed the law. The fact is, the law wasn't even given until many years later in the days of Moses on Mount Sinai. So, again, what good is the law but simply to show us that we are all sinners? Romans 3:20 reads, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands." The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Years ago, the Susan B. Anthony dollar. Does anybody here have a Susan B. Anthony dollar? Just curious. Ah, we have one in the crowd. Very good. When those were issued, they couldn't get people to take them. People didn't want them, as we can tell here, except for Kevin. He's got one. Hey. Okay. There was one exception to that. None of the banks could give them away or distribute them except for one bank in Georgia who did really, really well. So the U.S. Department of Treasury actually sent a representative down to figure out why on earth is this bank able to give out Susan B. Anthony dollars. And what they discovered was really fascinating. The only difference this bank was doing on the sign at the front of the bank, there was a window there, and there was a sign in the window, and it read, "Susan B. Anthony dollars available." limit, 2 per customer. What they discovered was people wanted to sneak back and break that rule. They wanted to get more than their limit from that sign. They wanted to break that rule for their benefit. That's exactly what the law does. The law not only undermines our faith, but underlines failure because we're unable to keep God's standard. And we choose. We choose to break it. We just can't help ourselves. Romans 4:16. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Salvation must be by faith. If it were by works, we'd wonder if we're really saved. We'd feel like we had to come forward every Sunday and dedicate ourselves, maybe even baptize ourselves. We'd walk around feeling, well, we're not sure we're going to make it to heaven. Always coming up short until we understand that our relationship with the Lord is not based on anything we do. It's based entirely on the work that God does. We'll never have to be afraid that we're losing our salvation ever again. Because it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on what we think. It doesn't depend on our works. It depends on God, and He is sovereign. Here's a phrase, follow along. The Father thought it, the Son brought it, the Spirit taught it, the Bible brought it, Satan fought it, but praise the Lord, by His grace, we got it. I want you to catch all this passage, the remaining verses, so I'm going to read these remaining verses by reading the final verses of chapter 4. As Paul continues to let us know, to help us understand, it's not us, it's God, it's what He did. And just as Abraham and David learned, they've learned how gracious God is, how wise God is, so should we. These final verses, Romans 4:17-25. This is what the Scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there is no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. But Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. They didn't have Isaac until after that. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever He promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Let us follow Abraham and David's example. Even when times get tough, even when we get discouraged, we should never waver. We should never lose confidence that our mighty Lord and Savior can save us. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able, and he showed it in his life, and so should we. As I thought of this sermon, I thought, my goodness, he just keeps repeating himself and repeating himself and repeating himself. And I think I've already said this message over and over again. How many of you think Paul made a mistake as he wrote? Anyone? I don't think so either. I think he knew us very well, that we have trouble having it sink in. We want to earn our way. That's not to say we shouldn't live faithfully. It's not to say we should not honor God and show our love for Him by following His commands. It is to say we should be able to sleep well at night. We should have so much confidence that nothing can shake us from the faith we have in our Lord. Let me pray. Father, this is not a crazy sermon. This is not a crazy sermon as Paul repeats these words over and over and over again. You know us really well. This major theological point, this point that makes a difference from all other the religions of the world. Lord, you sent your Son to be fully God and fully human. He gave His life for our sins, that we may be washed white as snow. Lord, we have sinned, and we know that. We also know without you, we can't buy our way, we can't earn our way. We can only find our way to heaven through your gracious gift in Jesus Christ. May your gospel be blessed in everyone's heart. In Jesus' name, amen.